Hello, podcast fans. Adam Carolla here. I'm leading the fight against patent trolls who are threatening this medium. It's not about me. It's about the podcast you're listening to right now.
Down Raids Goosebumps.
If I go down, this show could be next. So visit fundanything.com/patent troll for more information on how you can keep podcasting alive. Thank you and mahalo.
Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of Calling All Creeps on Dune Reads motherfucking Goosebumps. I just got back from New Orleans. It was fucking fantastic. God, I love that city. That city and my sweet home of San Diego really tie it for me. And that's not just like the, I love Vancouver too, but it's not just the pride of being like, this is where I was made, so I love it. Like, the more I travel, the more I'm like, California! So, anyway, and then after that, I got home, and my girlfriend's sister's baby daddy... I hate complic... Anyway, Mike was staying here for a while, and I love Mike, but I can't record anything when anyone's in the house or do any work. So I was getting all, like, depressed and weird and bummed out because I couldn't record Goosebumps and get it out to you guys. But I'm back. And, all right, Calling All Creeps. Oh, this was suggested by Nina. And by suggested, I mean she bribed me to read it via the old PayPal donate. So thank you, Nina. That's why we're here in this one. The cover of it is like a Bill and Ted style phone booth, which I have tattooed on my body. But it's full of what look like Jurassic Park raptors wearing human clothes, and one of them has a backwards hat on. And it says, just dial 555 CREEP. It's 555 creep. Let's check that out before we start. This is 555 creep. I've never actually called a 555 number. I wonder what it is. Especially one with 8 digits.
The number or code you have dialed is incorrect. Please check the number or code and try again.
Thanks, R.L. Stein. Now I don't know what to believe. I don't know if this book's even going to be true. Oh, dear God, I'm annoying. Chapter number one. Gotta zoom in on this. Just kidding, I'm holding it in my hand and it's a real book. At a little after 8 o'clock at night, I tiptoed from my bedroom and crept as silently as I could down the stairs. Maybe the phone number's 555 crept, because the book's so old now. You know what I'm saying? No? 3 steps from the bottom, I tripped over a stack of laundry and fell headfirst the rest of the way down, just like Stephen Hawking. I landed hard on my elbows and knees, but I didn't make a sound. I'm used to falling and used to being on my knees. I'm on them all the time. I jumped quickly to my feet and peeked into the front hallway. Had Mom and Dad heard me? They had the TV on in the den. They were watching the Weather Channel. They can watch the Weather Channel for hours. Marijuana. You have crazy effects. What's so interesting about the weather? I could hear the woman on TV talking about the wind chill in Nova Scotia. I pulled on my blue down parka and made my way silently to the front door. A few seconds later, I was outside, jogging along the sidewalk. I kept in the shadows, ducked my head low, and headed for school. Don't get the wrong idea about me. I don't usually sneak out of the house at night. I'm not a problem child or anything. Not even a problem child too, where he meets the girl and she's cuntier than him and then he realizes women are awful. In fact, my parents are always telling me to be braver, to be more adventurous. I never go out without telling my parents where I'm going, but tonight was a special night. Tonight, I had a special mission. The mission was spelled REVENGE. I think it's Rampage. He's going to go on a rampage. I don't read good. I slipped as I reached the corner and had to grab a lamppost to keep myself from falling. Most of the snow from the weekend had melted. I think that means he did a lot of cocaine. But there were still slick patches of ice on the sidewalk. I hadn't bothered to zip my parka. The wind blew it behind me as I jogged across the street and past the small houses on the next block. I probably thought I had a cape on, like when kids think they look cool. Remember, you know, like the weird kid who dresses like he's in anime? Like he's gonna be in Trigun or some shit? And then he's just an awkward kid in a weird Hot Topic fucking trench coat and it doesn't flutter in the wind right and he looks like an idiot? That's how I feel. This kid was thinking about himself without a zipped parka. Dear God, that was a tangent. The air felt cold against my warm cheeks and wet, as if it might snow again. Hey, enough about weather. Ricky Beamer, that's me.
Ricky B!
Had more important things on his mind tonight. Tonight, I plan to do a little spying, and then a little nasty mischief. A few minutes later, I made my way across the deserted playground next to the school. Harding Middle School. That's what the sign beside the bare flagpole read. Except that someone had spray-painted over the first letters, so the sign actually read, Harding It'll Cool. Wow. We have a lot of school pride here in Harding. Actually, most kids like this school. It's really new and everything is modern and clean. I'd like our school too, if the kids would cut me a fucking break. If they'd all get out of my face and stop calling me Ricky Rat or Sicky Ricky. I'd be a real happy guy. Maybe you think I sound a little bitter, maybe you're right, but all the kids think I'm a nerd. They make fun of me every chance they get. Oh, Ricky has a podcast where he records Goosebumps songs and he's always broke and his life's sad. I stared at the school building. It's kind of low and flat and curves around like a snake. The elementary school is at one end, and the middle school is at the other. I'm in sixth grade, so my classroom is right in the middle. A spotlight shone down on the bare flagpole in front of the building. Behind it, most of the classrooms were dark. I saw lighted windows at the eighth grade end, and that's where I was headed. A car rumbled past slowly. Its headlights washed over the front of the building. I ducked behind a tall evergreen bush. I did not want to be seen. In my rush to hide, I stumbled into the bush. A clump of cold, wet snow plopped onto my head. Oh, no! With a shiver, I shook my black, wavy hair to toss it off. like masturbation, toss it off, that's funny. When the car passed, I crept up to the lighted classroom window. My sneakers made squishing sounds in the soft ground. I glanced down. I had stepped into a deep, muddy rut. Ignoring the mud, I leaned against the low window ledge and pressed my face to the glass. Were the lights on because the night janitor was cleaning in there? Or was Tasha McLean working hard at work? Tasha McLean. Just saying her name makes my teeth itch. Brush your teeth, nigga. The window pane was steamed up. I squinted through the glass. Yes. Tasha sat at the desk against the wall. She leaned over her computadora. That's how they say it in Mexican. Typing away. Her long, curly, red hair fell over the keyboard as she typed with two fingers. Miss Richards, the newspaper advisor, stood beside her, one hand on the back of Tasha's chair. Miss Richards is young and very pretty. She had her blonde hair pulled back in a ponytail. In her baggy gray sweatshirt and faded jeans, she looked more like a student than a teacher. I sure would like to tear her insides apart with my penis stick. Miss Richards was nice to me last September when I signed up for the school newspaper staff. But she's been pretty mean lately. I think Tasha turned her against me. Tasha is an eighth grader, so she thinks she's hot shit. Sixth graders are nothing at Harding. Believe me, we're nothing. Maybe even less. I knew Tasha and Miss Richards would be working late on the Harding Herald tonight, because tomorrow is Tuesday, the day the paper comes out. Hey, if you're listening to this and you worked on your school newspaper, you suck. That was stupid. That was a waste of time. Yeah. Yeah, you can hand me that shit like once every 3 months or so, but I'm just going to throw it out. I don't give a shit. Oh, wait, 1 year I was student of the issue. Wait, I should probably try to track that down and post it on the Dune Reads Goosebumps Facebook at facebook.com/DuneReadsGoosebumps. Miss Richards leaned over Tasha and pointed to something on the computer monitor. I squinted harder to see the screen. See, I assume the Asians are good with computers because they squint so much. I was wrong. I could see a headline with a photo beneath it. Tasha was laying out the Herald front page. Once she had the front page finished, she would have to save it on a disk. Then, Miss Richards would take the disk to the laser printer in the main office and print out 200 copies. Miss Richards turned suddenly to the window. I dropped to the ground. Had she seen me? I waited a few seconds, then pulled myself off. Just getting up. Tasha was typing away. She stopped every few seconds to click the mouse and move things around on the screen. Miss Richards walked around the room. I shivered. The wind swirled, fluttering my parka hood. I hadn't brushed all the snow from my hair. Cold water dripped down the back of my neck. I heard a dog howling sadly in the distance. Franklin, what's a dog sound like when they're sad and howling? Franklin. He doesn't even move his ears. Frank, are you dead, bud? Yeah, he moved a little on that horrible pig sound I just made. Please get up, I silently urged Tasha. Please leave the room, too, so I can play my little joke. On the street behind me, another car rumbled past. I pressed myself against the dark wall, trying to make myself invisible. When I moved back to the window, the classroom stood empty. Tasha had also left the room. Yes! I cheered softly. My heart pounded with excitement. I raised both hands to the windowsill. I struggled to push up the window so that I could climb inside. I knew I had to be quick. Tasha probably had gone down the hall to the juice machine. I only had a few seconds to get in the room, do my damage, and get out of that bitch. I pushed and strained and pooped on the floor. That was my revenge. Just kidding, the window didn't budge. At first, I thought it might be frozen shut, but finally, on the fourth try, it started to slide up. I pushed with all my strength and opened the window just enough to squeeze through. My wet sneakers slid on the linoleum floor. I was leaving a trail of muddy footprints like I shit my pants, but I didn't care. I crept across the room and hunched down in front of the computer like Dune does for 15 hours a day. My hand shook as I grabbed the mouse like Dune's does every morning and moved to the bottom of the newspaper. I heard voices. Tasha and Miss Richards talking out in the hall. Taking a deep breath, I frantically studied the page. Then I typed a few words. In tiny, tiny type at the bottom of the front page, giggling softly to myself, I wrote, "Calling all creeps. Calling all creeps. If you're a real creep, call Tasha at 555-6709 after midnight." Why did I add this little message to the front page of my school newspaper? Why did I sneak in at night and risk getting caught? Why did I desperately need to get revenge against Tasha? Well, it's sort of a long story. Shack attack. Shack. Shack. Chapter number 2. A few days ago, a new girl started at our school. Her name is Iris Candler. She walked into my class and stood awkwardly in the front of the room waiting for Miss Williamson to advise her where to sit her stupid fucking ass down. I was trying to do the math homework assignment before the bell rang. Somehow, I forgot all about it the night before. I took a few seconds from my furious scribbling to check out the new girl. I don't know. I'd fuck it, I guess, I thought. She had a round face with big blue eyes and short blonde hair parted in the middle. She wore long, red plastic earrings that jangled when she moved her head. This is one of the times where I want to look up if that's a real world word. I know it's not a world. Whatever. Shut up. This podcast sucks. Miss Williamson gave Iris a seat near the back. Then, she asked me to show Iris around the school during the day. You know, point out where the lunchroom is and all the bathrooms and, I don't know, all that shit. I nearly cried out in surprise. Why did Miss Williamson pick me? I guess it was because Iris just happened to be sitting right next to me. I heard a couple of kids laugh. I heard someone mutter, "Sicky Ricky." Kids in my class are always on my case. I hope that Iris didn't hear them. I admit it, I wanted to impress her. I liked having someone new to talk to. Someone who didn't know that everyone thought I was a loser. At lunchtime, I walked Iris downstairs to the lunchroom. I told her about how new the school was. What the fuck? I know what's wrong, but I'm not going to get into it. And how, when we moved in for the first time, hot water came out of all the cold faucets and cold came out of the hot. No! That's what my brother showers like. Oh, fuck. When we went to New Orleans, my brother has, like, he lives in outside of New Orleans, like, right across the water. And the water is, like, well water. It's, like, municipal water. It's not like he doesn't live in a neighborhood and shit. But it's well water, so it's all fucking sulfury, which I've never, like, dealt with before. So whenever you take a shower or anything, like, it does not ever feel like you're clean. Like, you rinse off soap, but you still feel, like, weird and slick and soapy. And you smell, like, rotten eggs and stuff. It's absolutely the most repulsive thing ever. However, he did his own plumbing, or fixed some plumbing in there, and the hot's cold and the cold's hot. Because he owns a house. Because he's better than me. My brother is now is, like, similar sense of humor. But a college graduate. In shape. he's just like a better version of me. That's my main point. But whatever. He doesn't read Goosebumps, does he? Take that, Brandon Murderous. She asked me if I was on any sports team. Not yet, I answered. Not in a million years, I thought. Whenever guys are choosing up teams on the playground, the captains always fight over who gets me. It's always you take that asshole. No fair. You have to take the Tardo. No, you take Minkus. We had him last time. I'm not exactly a super jock. This is the lunchroom, I told Iris, leading the way through the door. I instantly felt really dumb. I mean, what else could it be? The band room? As soon as I entered, I saw my four enemies at their usual table in the middle of the room. I call them my four enemies because they're my four enemies. That's some good stuff, RL. Their names are Jared, David, Brenda, and Wart. Wart's name is really Richard Wartman, but everyone calls him Wart, even the teachers. I had a wart recently on my hand, and I read on the internet to use apple cider vinegar and cover it when you sleep. And I did that for like 5 days, and then it like died and pushed out of my hand, and it's been gone ever since, and it's the only wart I had, and feel pretty good about it. So, point is, you want to get rid of a wart, that's a good way to do it, because that's gross and you shouldn't have those because you're a respectable person. These four seventh graders are always making fun of me. When they're not making fun of me, they're trying to injure me. I don't know what their problem is. I never did anything to them. I guess they pick on me because I'm easy to pick on. I grabbed two food trays and guided Iris to the food counter. This is hot food over here, I explained. No one ever eats the hot food unless it's pizza or hamburgers. Iris flashed me a nice smile. Just like my old school, she said. Be sure to stay away from the macaroni, I warned. No one ever eats the macaroni. We think they serve the same macaroni all year. See that crust on top? Whoever heard of macaroni with a crust? Iris laughed. I brushed back my hair. I wondered if she liked me. We both picked up sandwiches and bags of potato chips. I put a bowl of red and green jello and a bottle of kiwi strawberry drink on my tray. The cashier is over here, I told Iris. I showed Iris how you hand your food ticket to the cashier and it gets punched. I was feeling pretty good. I think Iris was impressed by all my helpful instructions. I spotted a couple of seats at a table near the window. I motioned to them with my head.
Then I started through the crowded, noisy room, holding my tray high in both hands. Of course, I didn't see Wart stick his foot out. Ah, that fucking Wart. I tripped over it, fell forward, and my whole tray went flying. Are, like, lunch trays lighter than air? I don't think I've ever seen a scene with lunch trays where they don't awkwardly go flying and start a food fight. I hit the floor in time to look up and see the red and green jello bound across the table and onto a girl's lap. Ew, it looked like she perioded and then mucused. The rest of my food slid over the floor. Kids laughed and cheered and clapped. There goes Ricky, someone exclaimed. Ricky Rat, he's so fat, that Ricky Rat. I added the last part because, you know, I'm a skilled artist. Wart and his three pals started chanting, Sicky Ricky, Sicky Ricky. I glanced up and saw Iris laughing too. I just wanted to disappear. My face suddenly felt burning hot. I knew I was blushing. What am I going to do? I thought, lying there on my stomach. I really can't take this any longer. What can I do? Alright, it's now the next day, because I realized I wasn't being funny or interesting on the last read, as I was trying to fight a migraine, and I was taking stuff, and it was just not working out. All I could do was read, and I couldn't comment, and the whole podcast is about me talking, isn't it, motherfuckers? Chapter number 3. After school, I made my way to the 8th grade classrooms at the end of the building. The school newspaper office is in Miss Richards' room. Miss Richards sat at her desk, grading papers. As I stepped into the doorway, she glanced up and frowned. Then she returned to her work. I saw Tasha typing furiously at the computer in the corner. Her lips moved as she wrote, her forehead furrowed in heavy concentration. I walked over to the assistant editor, an 8th grader named Melly. She's probably smelly. Yeah, I bet she's smelly. Melly has short, straight brown hair and wears glasses with brown frames that match her hair. She was leaning over a long news story, running her fingers down the page as she read. Hi, Melly.
Amelie,
I said. She glanced down and frowned, too. Ricky, you made me lose my place. Sorry, I said, apologizing like a total bitch. Any stories for me today? You're probably wondering why I signed up to be a reporter on the Harding Herald. It's not that I'm a great writer or anything. Every kid at Harding needs 20 activity points a year. That means you have to try out for sports or join clubs or other after-school activities. No way I was going to try out for a sport. So, I signed up for the newspaper. I thought it would be easy. That's because I hadn't met Tasha yet. Tasha treats all 6th graders like bugs, and she's a total bug chaser. She makes a disgusted face when a 6th grader walks in the room. Then, she tries to step on us! Oh no! So I'm drinking Steel Reserve. That's how you can tell I'm on point. She gives all the good story assignments to 8th graders. Do you know the first story she asked me to write? She asked me to count the dirt patches in the playground and write about why the grass didn't grow there. Damn, that's some vegan-ass liberal shit. I know she was just trying to get me out of the office, but I wrote the story anyway. It's hard to write a good story about dirt patches, but I did a really good job. My story was 5 pages long. She never printed it in the newspaper. When I asked her why, she said, "Who cares about dirt patches?" My next assignment was to interview the night janitor about the differences between working days and nights. That one didn't get into the paper either. I wanted to quit, but I really needed the activity points. I know that feeling, but then someone PayPals you $20 and you keep going. If I didn't earn 20 activity points, more like $20, I couldn't graduate from 6th grade. I'd have to go to summer school. Really? So, I kept coming to the Harding Herald office 2 or 3 afternoons a week after school, asking Tasha for more news stories to write. Anything for me? I asked Melly. She shrugged. I don't know. Ask Tasha. I moved over to Tasha's desk. Her face reflected the blue monitor as she typed away. "Any stories for me?" I asked her. She kept typing. She didn't glance up. "Wait till I'm finished," she snarled. I backed away. I turned and saw Miss Richards walking out of the room. Some kids were talking by the table near the window, so I crossed over to them. David and Wart, two of my enemies, were arguing about some bullshit. They're both sports reporters for the paper. They write about all the Harding games. The rest of the time, they hang around the office, making trouble. David is tall and blonde. Wart is short and lumpy and red-faced. He looks a little... You ready for this? Like a wart! Because that's his name, but he looks... He looks like it, too. That's why you can't name your kid something, like, bad. Like, because I've never met a skinny girl named Bridget, you know? Like, eventually you just have to, like, realize that certain names have certain connotation. And anything with a wart, you know. That's not going to name my kid fucking Brock. Brock McKay. Gonna be a total fucking badass. I saw some cookies and cans of soda on the table. I tried to walk around David and Wart to get the drinks, but Wart stepped in front of me. He and David both grinned. "How was your lunch, Ricky?" Wart asked. They laughed and slapped each other high five. I glared at Wart. I wanted to wipe the grin off his face. "Why'd you trip me?" I could feel my face growing hot. "I didn't," he lied. David laughed, too. "You did, too," I insisted. "You stuck your foot out." "No way," he said. "I didn't touch you." "You tripped over a crack in the floor," David chimed. "Or maybe it was an air pocket." They both laughed. They're so lame. I grabbed a can of Pepsi brand cola off the table, popped it open, and started to walk away. "Hey, wait. Wart, help me." Wart held me by the shoulder. I spun around. "What's your problem?" "That's the can I wanted," he said. "Too bad. Get your own," I told him. "Nah, I want that one." He swiped at the can. I swung my hand out of his reach, lost my grip, and the can went flying across the room. It sprayed Pepsi brand cola as it flew, then landed in the middle of Tasha's keyboard. She let out a squeal, jumped up, knocked her chair over. I quickly grabbed up a handful of paper napkins from the table and darted across the room. "Don't worry, I'll clean it up," I told Tasha. The keyboard was soaked. I frantically started to mop the keys. "No, Ricky, stop!" Tasha shrieked. Too late. I stared in horror at what I had done. He probably alt-tabbed, and she was looking at, like, weird fucking brony porn, and then she was all embarrassed and ashamed like she should be. I've now finished that Steel Reserve.
Chapter number 4.
Tasha opened her mouth in an angry scream. She tugged at her red hair with both hands. "You creep, Ricky, you creep," she cried. She shouldn't call people names, but she had good reason to be angry at me. I had erased the whole front page. The screen glowed at us. Bright blue. Solid blue. No words. No pictures.
Sorry, I murmured.
"Maybe I can get it back," Tasha told Melly. "Maybe there's a way to find it and pull it back up?" Tasha shoved me out of the way, picked up her chair, and sat down. Ugh! She let out another cry when she realized she had sat in a puddle of Pepsi brand cola. Staring at the solid Bruce the screen and shit, she began typing furiously. I could see that the keys were still wet and sticky. She kept making mistakes, backing up, t- typing again. Typing, typing. Muttering under her breath the whole time. No use, no good. The front page refused to come back. Because that dumb bitch don't know about a save button. Am I right? I guess not a save button. I guess it's going up to file and then going to save. Finally, she gave up with a loud groan. She tossed her hair in the air with both hands and turned to me with a growl. "You creep," she cried. All that work lost. I swallowed hard. "Tasha, it was an accident," I murmured. "Really, it was just an accident, you little fucking creep," Tasha shrieked. Melly stood beside her, glaring at me angrily, shaking her stupid head. "Wart pushed me," I cried. I turned to the table. Wart and David had vanished from the room. "You're off the paper," Tasha screamed as if she was on the rag. "Get out, Ricky. You're out of here." "Huh?" My heart stopped for a second. "No, Tasha, wait," I pleaded. "Get out, get out." She made shooing motions with both hands, the way you shoo away a dog. "You're off the paper, I mean it." But, I sputtered like an outboard motor. "But I need the activity points. Please give me a second chance, please," I begged. "Out," Tasha insisted. Melly tisk-tisked and shook her head. "You're so unfair," I wailed. I know. I sounded like a baby. But give me a fucking break. It really was unfair. I turned and slunk to the door. And guess who was standing there? Guess who had watched the whole ugly scene? You're right. Iris. Her first day of school, and she already knew what a fucking loser I was. "What are you doing here?" I asked glumly, like a human version of Grimace. "They said I needed an after-school activity, so I thought I'd try the newspaper," Iris replied. She followed me down the empty hall. "But I don't think I want to join the newspaper. That red-haired girl is really mean. She's probably just upset because no one's attracted to her." "Tell me about it," I muttered, rolling my eyes. "She shouldn't have called you a creep," Iris continued. "It was just an accident. She's a cunt. She should give you another chance." "Maybe Iris and I will become good friends," I thought. I pulled my blue parka from my locker. Then Iris and I made our way out of the building. The afternoon sun was already dropping behind the houses and bare trees. It gets so dark so early here in winter. Patches of snow on the lawns and sidewalk gleamed dully as we walked toward the street. "Which way is your house?" I asked, shifting my backpack over my parka. Iris pointed. "Mine too," I said. We started walking together. I didn't really feel like talking. I was still totally pissed off about getting kicked off the fucking newspaper. But I felt glad that Iris was on my side. We crossed the street and made our way up the next block. A tall hedge stretched along the entire block, broken only by driveways. Some kids had marked off the street for a game of street hockey. They were skating back and forth, yelling, "Quack! Quack! 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 Skeet! Skeet! Skeet!" leaning on their sticks, cheering and shouting. "Do you skate?" Iris asked. "A little," I told her. "My Rollerblade brand inline skates are kind of broken. The brakes came loose and..." "I always take off the brakes," she said. "It's a lot more fun without brakes, don't you think?" This might mean she doesn't like wearing condoms either. Keep playing your cards right, Ricky. I started to answer, but a sound from behind the tall hedge made me stop. Was someone whispering? Did I hear someone giggling? Iris and I kept walking. She was telling me something about how kids skated in the town she moved from. I didn't really listen. Women. I kept hearing footsteps. Whispers, scraping sounds from the other side of the hedge. Finally, I raised a finger to my lips. "Iris, shh. I whispered. Her blue eyes widened in surprise. Ricky, what's the matter? I think we're being followed, I told her.
Chapter 5.
I don't hear anything, Iris whispered. She narrowed her eyes at me. We both listened. Silence, except for the cheers of the street hockey players behind us down the block. We started walking. I heard a giggle, some whispers. I turned into the next driveway and darted behind the hedge. Who's there? Iris called. She came running up behind me. Her eyes searched the hedge, then the front yard. No one here. She laughed. Ricky, why do you look so worried? You probably heard a bird or something. Yeah, a bird. Bird's the word, I repeated. I led the way around the hedge to the sidewalk. I didn't want Iris to think I was crazy, but I knew I'd heard something. We walked past a few more houses. Then I heard a whisper chant from behind the hedge. Sicky Ricky. Sicky Ricky. Did you hear that? I asked Iris. She shook her head. I heard the distant hum of a plane high overhead. Do you mean the plane? She asked. No, bitch, I replied. I heard a voice. A soft giggle floated out from the hedge. I ran to check it out, nearly slipped on a slick patch of ice. I grabbed the hedge to catch my balance. No one back there. An empty front yard. Straightening my backpack, I hurried to Iris on the sidewalk. I'm going to edit that out. Ricky, you're a little weird, she said. She laughed, but I could tell she was still wondering about me, starting to think maybe I was too weird to be her friend. I heard someone back there, really, I insisted. They must be hiding in the hedge, or I heard a scream of attack. The hedge shook. I staggered backwards towards the street. And four figures came leaping out of the hedge, four kids shrieking and cheering. My four enemies! I saw Iris's face twist in surprise. That was the sound of a face twisting, by the way. And then Wart grabbed me. David grabbed me too. Brenda and Jared joined them. They pushed me one way, then pulled me back, laughing and shouting. They spun me around, and David tagged me. They pushed me one way. They pulled me back, laughing and shouting. They spun me around, and David tackled me to the ground. They swarmed around me, pushed me down, and held me in the cold, wet mud. Let go of me, I shrieked. I tried to kick and thrash and squirm free, but the four of them held me firmly. Let go of me, I wailed. What are you gonna do? Let's find out what they're gonna do on chapter number 666. Let him go, I heard Iris cry. Okay, Wart replied. No problem. The big, chubby Wart had been sitting on my chest. He climbed to his feet. I took a deep breath. The other three let go of me and took a step back. I sat up, rubbing mud off my parka sleeve. I glanced at Iris. She stood near the curb, hands balled into fists, her eyes wide with alarm. With a groan, I started to stand up, but Wart and Jared shoved me back down. Not so fast, Jared said. Jared is short and skinny, but he's a real man. I bet he has a dingle-do between his legs. I got a dingle-do between my legs. And two womble balls. What do you want? I demanded. Wart leaned over me. Why'd you tell Tasha that the soda can accident was my fault? He asked. Because it was your fault, asshole, I shouted back. I pulled a dead brown leaf from my hair. But why did you tell Tasha? Wart asked nastily.
Because he's a wimp,
David chimed in.
Because he was scared,
Brenda said.
Because you're a snitch,
Ward accused.
But it was your fault, I cried. I tried to climb up, but they pushed me down again.
Iris let out a short cry, then covered her mouth with both hands. I could see she was really scared.
Don't worry, I called to her. They're not really going to hurt me.
I turned to Ward.
Right?
All three of them laughed.
What should we do to Ricky Rat?
Brenda said.
Hurt him, David replied.
They laughed again.
Now, let's make him sing,
Wart said, grinning at me.
Oh no, I groaned, not again.
They think it's a riot to make me sing songs to them.
Hey, if they sung songs by some sort of Russian band that no one cared about, but only cared because they went to jail, even though I don't think they have any real songs or albums, it would have been a pussy riot to make him sing songs to them. Wish I didn't say that.
They force me to sing all the time. It's because I have a terrible voice and I can't carry a tune.
Please, I begged.
Yes, sing a song for your new friend, Brenda said, motioning to Iris.
No. No way!
David and Jared bent down and grabbed my shoulders. They started to push me deeper into the mud.
Sing a song, Jared ordered.
Sing the Star Spangled Banner, Ward said.
The others cheered and clapped. Yes, the Star Spangled Banner. That's the best!
No, I groaned. Not again, please, guys, please. I don't know the words. Really, don't make me sing that song again.
I begged and pleaded. Why am I getting notifications on my tablet?
Whatever.
But the four of them stood over me, staring me down, not letting me up from the mud.
What choice did I have? Sitting here with a muddy face, looking like I'm in blackface, trying to perform. I guess it would technically be brownface. Is that what happens when you dress up as Mexican? I'll have to look into that.
What choice did I have? I knew only one way to get them to leave.
So, sitting there on the cold, muddy ground, I started to sing.
Oh, say can you see?
They burst into loud laughter.
They hooted and howled. They shoved each other and slapped each other high fives. One of them put a finger in another. They practically fell down in the mud themselves. They were laughing so hard.
And the home of the brave.
Somehow I made it through the whole song. Of course, I forgot most of the words, and of course my voice cracked at the high parts, and of course I'd never been so embarrassed in all my life! Iris must think I'm the biggest jerk on the planet, I told myself. She must think I'm a total fucking loser. I wanted to sink into the mud like a worm and never come back! I took off. I just started to run. I didn't glance back, not at my four enemies, not at Iris. Especially not at Iris. I didn't want to see her laughing at me too, or feeling sorry for me. I ran all the way home, without slowing down. Then I burst into the house and slammed the door behind me and ran up to my fucking room.
This is all Tasha's fault, I decided, blaming people that aren't the asshole kids that are all angry because their parents put cigarettes out on them so they have to take it out on other kids.
Okay, I get it. You were diddled a little. Now don't be such a fucking asshole to other kids. Jesus.
First, Tasha kicked me off the newspaper staff because of an accident. Then, Tasha told Wart that I blamed him. So Wart and his pals had no choice.
Yes, they had plenty of choice, Rick. What are you talking about?
They had to chase after me and embarrass me in front of Iris. All Tasha's fault! All Tasha's fault!
I was still thinking about her as I struggled to fall asleep that night, still thinking about how I'd pay Tasha back someday. It took
hours and hours to fall asleep. The phone beside my bed rang and woke me up at Saturday morning. Sleepily, I grabbed the receiver. Guess who was on the other end? Tasha. Yes, a surprise call from fucking Tasha. A call that would change my life.
People need to send me more money so I can purchase the motivation to do this quicker, cause it's gonna take me 4 days. Chapter 7!
Huh? I managed to choke out, still half asleep. I cleared my throat. I need your help, Tasha said. Huh? I sat straight up in bed. Tasha needed my help? Was I totally asleep? Was I dreaming this? Huh? I need you to cover a story for me, Tasha continued, for the newspaper. I've tried everyone else I know. They couldn't do it. You are the last person I wanted to call. But you're my only hope, she said, all fucking Princess Leia-y. Huh? I replied. Ricky, is that all you can say? Tasha demanded shrilly. Did I wake you up or something? Huh? No. I cleared my throat again and pushed down my morning wood. I shook my head, trying to force myself to be alert. Tasha needed my help? I need you to come to school and cover the midwinter car wash, Tasha said. I need a story and photos right away. Huh? I replied. Why couldn't I stop saying that? I was in shock or something. A car wash in winter? I live somewhere without proper seasons. Do people not wash their car in winter? Huh. Tasha sighed. You don't know about the school car wash? Didn't you see all the signs? Don't you read the newspaper? Ah, right, I fucking forgot. I lied. I peeked out the window. Golden sunshine. Nice day for a car wash. Great, I'll come right to school, Tasha, I told her. Thanks for giving me another chance. I didn't want to call you, she said coldly, but most of my reporters went on the field trip. And the others were working at the car wash. If my dog could take pictures, I would have used him. So when I stopped recording right now, I realized I'm the best Goosebumps reader in the world because I stopped, and then I heard sounds, not from behind a hedge, and then I looked, and it was Franklin having a doggy nightmare, and I was like, aw, yeah, I'm that fucking spooky. My spookiness transcends the boundaries of species. Thanks a lot, I cried. I know, she was trying to insult me, but she was also giving me another chance. Maybe I wouldn't have to take summer school after all. I pulled on a pair of faded jeans and a sweatshirt, gulped down a fast breakfast, some kind of pink, blue, and green cereal, and a glass of orange juice. Then I ran all the way to school. It was a warm day. On the radio, they said it would snow tonight and tomorrow, but it felt too warm to snow. Shut up, you're not a meteorologist. Stop correcting the weather. As I crossed the street to school, I saw a kid setting up the car wash on the playground. A white banner, fluttering in the morning breeze, proclaimed, Harding Car Wash, $5. Kids were stretching long hoses from the back of the school building. Several buckets were set on a low wooden table, along with sponges and a stack of white towels. A blue Pontiac and a minivan were already in line to be washed. I hurried into the building and down the hall to the newspaper room. I found Tasha all alone in the classroom. She leaned over her computer, typing away. She frowned when she saw me run in. I'd do the story myself, she said, but I have to finish up the features page. I've never been this desperate. Yeah. Nice greeting, huh? I'll do a good job, I promise, I said. She crossed the room and picked up a camera from Miss Richards' desk. Here, take this, Ricky. She handed it to me. And be careful with it. It's my dad's Pentax. It's really expensive. And it's his favorite camera. Her dad's Pentax? Yeah, what? Her dad uses tampons? Oh, is it a heavy flow Pentax with pearls? That's my new laugh. What do you guys think? I, for one, find it horrifying.
Okay, Pentax is a camera brand, not a tampon brand. Whatever. I held the camera carefully in both hands and examined it. I raised it to my eye. "Say cheese," I said. Tasha didn't smile. "I'm warning you, Ricky," she said sternly. "Don't let anything happen to that camera. Take 4 or 5 different shots of kids washing cars, then bring it right back to me." "No problemo," I told her. I want the story to be 6 or 8 paragraphs," she continued. "You'll have to write it today and get it to me by tomorrow at latest. Miss Richards and I are going to finish the layout of the paper and print it Monday night." "No problem," I repeated. "I'm saving a column on page 2, Tasha said, "so promise me you won't mess it up this time." I promised. Then I turned and hurried out to the playground. "I can do this," I told myself. "I can handle it. I can turn my life around this morning. Everything will be great after I do this assignment." That's what I told myself. But as soon as I arrived at the car wash, my life was ruined. Oh my goodness. Malt liquor. Chapter number 8. Squinting like a Chinaman into the bright morning sun, I jogged across the playground. How rude. My sneakers slipped in the wet grass. I carried the camera carefully in front of me in both hands. Nice alliteration. As I came closer, I shielded my eyes from the sun with one hand. I recognized the blue Pontiac. It belonged to Wart's parents. Kids with hoses surrounded it, spraying it on all sides. Raising the camera, I ran towards the car. "Hold it right there," I called. "Let me take a picture for the Herald." The first spray of water shocked me. I felt something hit the front of my sweatshirt, something cold. I let out a startled cry. The next 2 sprays hit me on the face and the chest. Ow! Ski, 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 ski. And sent me sprawling backwards. "Hey," I managed to shout. "Stop it, are you crazy?" I started scrambling out of the way and tried to, but now there were 4 hoses trained on me. Oh, the water is freezing cold. Ducking out of the way, I recognized the 4 grinning faces aiming the hoses. Brenda, Wart, David, and Jared. Who else? Would it be Gio or Nick? No, not Gio nor Nick. Sputtering, I turned and tried to run out of the garage. Cold water sprayed down on me like a shower. Another hose caught me in the back. Oh, with no lube even. It just went right in there. "Stop it. Hey, stop it, you guys. Stop spraying me with a hose and get that dick out of my butt," I cried. And then I remembered the camera. Ducking my head from another harsh blast of water, I raised the camera. Drenched, totally fucking drenched. Aye! An angry scream tore from my throat. Staring in horror at the dripping wet camera, I lost my shit. For the first time in my life, I totally lost it. I strapped the camera around my neck, then I spun around and hurtled toward my 4 attackers. My last chance, I told myself. My last chance on the newspaper, and they're ruining it! Howling and giggling, the 4 7th graders tried to blast me back with their hoses, but I lowered my head and came at them. Sputtering, shaking off the water, I leaped on Wart. I tackled him around the waist and dragged him to the ground. He cut his laugh short with a startled gasp. I grabbed the hose from his hand, pulled open the door to his parents' car, and sent a spray of water into the car. "Hey, no!" Wart wailed. Water from David's hose shot against my back. Water sprayed the air like a fountain. At the next car, I heard kids laughing and shouting in surprise. I drenched the back seat and then the front. When I saw Brenda, David, and Jared drop their hoses, I dropped mine too and started to run. They all chased after me. I didn't get far. The grass was so slippery and wet, I ran a few steps and then my sneakers slid out from under me. I went down hard, fell face down into the grass on top of the camera.
Chapter number 9.
"Does this mean I'm off the paper?" I asked meekly. Apparently that's meek. Tasha scowled and turned the camera over in her hands. "The lens is cracked," she murmured, shaking her head. "The whole camera is soaked and bent." Her voice trembled. It's wrecked. It really wasn't my fault, I said softly. She angrily blew a strand of red hair off her forehead. You'll pay for it, she cried. You'll pay for the camera, Ricky. If you don't, my father will sue you. That's how lawyers work. But Tasha, I pleaded, you know it wasn't my fault. Go away, she snapped. Just go away. Nothing is ever your fault, right? Well, it wasn't, I insisted. If you'd listen to me, Tasha, you're just bad fucking news, Ricky. Fucking a totoso, she said, scowling at me again. She examined the broken camera one more time, then dropped it onto a desk. You don't take anything seriously, she accused. You think everything's a goof. But Tasha, I started to plead. Go away, she said. That was your last chance. You don't deserve it. You're just a creep. Why do you think all the kids call you Ricky Rat? Because that's what you are, a little rodent. Those words really stung. I felt a stab of pain in my chest. I struggled to breathe. I spun around so that Tasha couldn't see how upset I was, and I hurried out of the room and out of the fucking school. As I ran across the playground, I heard kids at the car wash singing and laughing. They were soaping up the cars, spraying them clean, having a great time. As I passed by, I heard some kids start to chant, Sicky Ricky, Sicky Ricky. I heard some other kids laugh. I turned my head away and kept running. I knew that by Monday, Tasha would have told everyone how I ruined her father's camera. The story would be all over school. Everyone would know how Ricky Rat had messed up again. Running home with Tasha's words still in my ear, I felt more angry with each step. I wanted to scream. I wanted to explode. Sorry, there's imaginary smoke from my explosion. That's when I decided to pay Tasha back. That's when I decided to play a mean joke. Creep, creep, creep. The word repeated and repeated in my mind. Ricky, you're just a creep, just a little rodent. You'll pay, Ricky. If you don't, my father will sue you. Rodent, rodent, rodent. She had no right to call me that. It wasn't fair. I had been so hurt, so angry. But by the time I reached home, I was smiling. I knew what I wanted to do. I knew how I was going to take my revenge. I had my plan all worked out in my mind. It couldn't fail. It couldn't. And then there's a drinking break, but I ran out of steel reserves, so I'll have to get another one from the fridge in a second. But, I had a really important point to make. Oh, it wasn't an important point at all. I was just going to point out, what the fuck does this have to do with velociraptors and people's clothing? That was my, I guess, not point, but question. Because we're a third into this book, and, wow. This is misleading. So, here I am. Monday night, I sneaked into the classroom where Tasha and Miss Richards were working. I gleefully typed my little message on the bottom of the front page of the newspaper. I knew I had to hurry. Tasha and Miss Richards would return any second. I listened tensely for any sound, for any sign that they were near. I had never been so nervous in all my life, but I always had a smile. Had a smile on my face. Ricky, they all think you're a loser, but you're a genius, I congratulated myself. Only you could have dreamed up such a wonderful, nasty revenge. Glancing up at the doorway every 2 seconds, I finished typing in my message for Harding Middle School's newspaper readers. Calling all creeps, calling all creeps. If you're a real creep, call Tasha at 555-6709 after midnight. I read it over. It made me smile again. I felt like jumping up and a down and rabzabadoo and laughing out loud. But I knew I couldn't make a sound. I stood up, turned to the window, and started to make my escape. Halfway to the window, I heard Tasha cough and step into the room. I was caught. Don't worry, guys. I got another steel reserve just in time for chapter number 10. I froze. So close, I thought. So close. The window stood only 5 steps away. 5 steps, and I would have been out of there. But
The five steps seem as far as 5 miles now. That's a lot greater of a distance. I shut my eyes and waited for Tasha to cry out. Instead, I heard Miss Richards' voice from out of the hall. Tasha, would you come here for a moment? I opened my eyes in time to see Tasha disappear back out the door. Had she seen me? No. No fucking way. She would have screamed. Woo! I do that thing where I, like, rub my forehead, but there's no sweat. So it just kind of, like, gave me a little bit of, like, rug burn. I guess hand burn, skin burn. I landed on my elbows and knees, scrambled frantically to my feet, and started running like a motherfucker. I didn't even bother to close the window. Too risky, I decided. For the third time in 4 days, I ran all the way home. On Friday and Saturday, I ran home in disgrace, a loser, and a creep. Tonight, I ran home a winner, a champion, a genius. I let myself silently into the house. I could hear voices from the TV in the den. Mom and Dad were still watching the Weather Channel. I listened for a moment in the front hallway, catching my breath. Bad storms in the Pacific Northwest. Flood warnings. A few weeks ago, I tried to get Mom and Dad to switch channels to MTV. But they hated MTV because it never gave the weather. I felt so happy, so excited. I wanted to rush into the den and tell them about my great joke. But of course, I couldn't do that. Instead, I made my way silently up to my room and closed the fucking door. Who could I call? I had to call someone. I had to share my little secret with someone, but who? I don't have any fucking friends. Iris. Yes, Iris. She would appreciate it. Iris would understand. My heart pounding, I reached for my phone. It took me a while to remember Iris's last name. I had only heard it once. Chandler? Candle? Chandler Bing? Joey? Monica? Rachel? Marcel the Monkey? Candler, yes! Iris Candler. I got the phone number from information and called her. The phone rang once. Twice! Iris picked up after the third ring. We both said hello. She sounded surprised to hear from me. Guess where I went tonight? I asked her. But I didn't wait for her to guess. I blurted out the whole story. It all just burst out of me. I don't think I took a breath. Is that great or what? I demanded. When I told her every detail, I laughed. The paper comes out tomorrow, I said. Tasha won't be sleeping much tomorrow night. She'll be getting calls all night from every kid in school. I waited for Iris to laugh, but I heard only a long silence on her end of the line. Do you think it's funny? I asked finally. Kind of, she replied. But I have a bad feeling about it, Ricky. A very bad feeling. Iris, it's just a joke, I told her. What could go wrong? Well, since that's the end of the chapter, I think there might be something that goes wrong. Steve Reserve, high gravity log. Chapter number 11. When I arrived at school the next morning, guess who I saw first? You're right, Tasha. She turned her nose up as if she smelled rotten fish. Then she hurried past me without saying a word. I didn't give a shit. I thought about my little surprise for Tasha on the bottom of the Herald's front page. I knew it would keep me smiling all day. Believe me, I needed something to smile about. As I turned the corner to go to my locker, Josh and Greg, two kids from my class, deliberately bumped into me. Ricky, stop bumping into me, Josh said like a fucking genius. Greg bumped me again. Then he pushed me into Josh. Hey, give me a break. I said stop bumping into me, Josh cried. God, I hate people named Josh. Get a life, I muttered. I dodged away from them. They walked off, laughing, bumping each other from one side of the hall to the other. Funny guys, huh? About as funny as a broken arm. That's what it says.
I pulled open my locker and started unloading books from my backpack. "Hey, Ricky, want to wash my dad's car?" a kid named Tony shouted from across the hall. I had my head in the locker. I didn't look around. I heard kids laughing at Tony's hilarious joke. "Hey, Ricky, want to wash something?" Tony called, and then made a masturbation motion with his hand. "Wash your face!" Oh, he's gonna wash it with semen. What a joker! And a smoker and a midnight toker! Everyone laughed again. I slammed my locker door and walked past them without saying a word. "This is all Tasha's fault," I told myself, "but I'm gonna have the last laugh tonight." I turned the corner and headed to class. I saw Brenda and Wart at the water fountain against the wall. I tried to run past them, but I wasn't fast enough. Brenda pressed her hand over the fountain and shot a spray of cold water on the front of my shirt. "Have a squirt! Squirt!" Wart called. Big laughter up and down the hall. "My dad is suing you for wrecking his car." It's a lot of litigious lawsuits going on in here. Litigious lawsuits? I meant to say frivolous. All lawsuits are litigious, aren't they? See, I'm still working on my laugh. Wart called. "He's suing your family for every penny they've got. Tell him to get in line," I muttered under my breath. "Ricky Rat, Ricky Rat." Everyone chanted, "Welcome to Pick on Ricky Day at Harding Middle School." Unfortunately, every day is Pick on Ricky Day. But today, I didn't care. Today, I knew I'd end up a winner. Today, the joke was on Tasha. The student newspaper would be handed out this afternoon, and Tasha would be up all night answering phone calls. Sweet. Sweet revenge was mine. Ooh, drinking break, and I have a fresh tall can. Well, not tall can. Wow, it's just a 12-ounce steel reserve. Don't worry, I wouldn't lie to you. That night, I had to go out for dinner with my parents and my cousins who live across town. Mom and Dad didn't bring me home until 9:30, and I was about 2 hours, and I had about 2 hours of homework to do. So I didn't tuck myself into bed until nearly 12, very late for a school night. I just started to drift off to sleep when the phone beside my bed rang. I squinted at my clock radio. 2 minutes until 12. Now who could call this late? I asked myself. Well, you're not going to move? I'll record this with a cat in my lap.
No? Okay. Goodbye, Yodi.
Listen, that's the sound of a cat with no fur. Okay, Yodi, go away.
Chapter number 15. Oh, no, sorry, 12.
Wow, that was incorrect. I fumbled for the phone in the dark, knocked it off the bed table. It clattered loudly to the floor. I dove out of my bed and grabbed the receiver. Then I hunched on my knees and listened for Mom and Dad. Did they hear the phone ring? I'm not allowed to get calls after 10 o'clock. I cleared my throat and raised the phone to my ear. Hello? Ricky, it's me, Iris. I glanced at my clock radio again. Iris, it's midnight. How come you're calling so late? I asked. Are you okay? My father was on the phone practically the whole night. Ricky, did you see the school newspaper?
She demanded in an urgent whisper.
Huh? No, I replied, climbing onto the edge of my bed. When they started to pass out the papers, I got called to the library. The librarian wanted to ask me about a bunch of books I lost. When I came back to the room, all the papers were gone.
So you didn't see the paper? Iris asked shrilly.
No, I repeated. I didn't get my copy. Is it great? Can you read the message at the bottom okay?
Well, Iris hesitated. Is it great? I asked excitedly.
Not exactly, Iris replied softly. Actually, Ricky, you're in major trouble.
I'm in what?
I squeezed the phone to my ear. She was talking so softly I could barely hear her. Iris, I'm what?
Tin roof rusted and in major trouble, she repeated.
A chill swept down my back. Major trouble? But why, Iris? What do you mean?
I sputtered. "The message," she started. Then she stopped. Silence on the other end. "Iris, I can't hear you," I said. "Iris!" "Uh-oh," she murmured. "I've got to get off. My dad is screaming at me." "But Iris," I insisted, "why am I in trouble? You've got to tell me." "I'm getting off," I heard her call to her father. "It was only a short call, Dad. I know it's midnight." "Iris, please tell me. Tell me something before you hang up," I begged. "Gotta go, bye," she said. I heard a click. The line went dead. I slammed the receiver down angrily. What's that bitch's problem? Why can't she tell me why I was in trouble? I slid the phone back in place beside the clock radio and climbed into bed. I punched my pillow a few times, puffing it up. Then I pulled the blankets up to my chin. I shut my eyes and tried to calm down enough to fall asleep. The phone rang again. I sat straight up with a startled gasp. This time I managed to pick up the phone without knocking the floor. "Iris, thank you for calling me back. I saw your message in the school newspaper," a voice whispered. "Iris?" I swallowed hard. I knew it wasn't Iris. "I saw your message," the voice whispered. "I'm calling as you instructed." "Huh? You're calling me?" I cried. "Yes. I'm following your instructions," came the whispered reply. "Who is this?" I demanded. "I'm a creep." The C in creep was capital. I feel like that means something. You know what else means something?
Chapter 13!
I slammed down the phone. Then I settled back into bed. I puffed my pillows up again and pulled the blanket over my shoulders. The wind howled outside my bedroom window. Shadows cast by the street lamp in front of our house danced over my wall. My brain was spinning. Who was that? I couldn't be sure, but it sounded like a boy. Why did he call me? The message I put in the newspaper gave Tasha's phone number. I didn't have long to think about it. The phone rang again. I grabbed up the receiver before the ring ended. My eyes shot to the bedroom door. If Mom or Dad heard me getting these calls, I'd really be in major trouble. "Hello, who is it?" I demanded. "Hi, I'm a creep." A different voice, a boy speaking softly. "I'm a weirdo. I would like a perfect body and a perfect soul. Or I guess a matching soul. It doesn't matter. Radiohead doesn't like that song. So I like that song because, they're pretentious douchebags." "Huh?" I gasped. "I'm a creep. I called as soon as I saw your orders." "Give me a break," I cried. I slammed down the phone. "What is going on?" I muttered out loud. I sat staring at the phone, watching in the dim light, waiting. Was it going to ring again? "Ricky!" A voice boom. I jumped a mile. The ceiling lights clicked on. Dad stood in the doorway in a blue and white striped pajamas. He scratched his cheek. "Ricky, what are those calls about?" he demanded. I shrugged. "Calls? He narrowed his eyes at me suspiciously. "I heard the phone ring 3 times, asshole," he growled.
"Oh, you mean those calls?"
I tried to sound innocent, but I knew I didn't stand a chance. "You know you're not allowed to get calls after 10, Dad said sharply. He yawned. "It's after midnight. After midnight. Now who's calling so late?" "It's some kind of joke," I told him. "You know, kids from school." He brushed his sandy hair off his forehead. "I don't think it's funny," he said. I lowered my head. "I know, but it isn't my fault." He raised a hand to silence me. "Tell your friends to stop," he said. "I mean it. If they keep calling so late, I'll have to take your phone away." "I'll tell them," I promised. I'd tell them to stop, I thought. If I knew who they were... Oh, that cat, I was just slapping shit and it's stinky. Oh, God, Yodi! Jesus. That cat is cute and sweet and amazing and comes when he's called and he's cute and loving, but he has no interest in burying his shit, and he has the smelliest shit in the world. He just shits and walks away. Oh, God, I'll cover it after this chapter.
Dad yawned again. He was the loudest yawn in the world. It sounded more like a roar. When he finished yawning, he clicked off the light and disappeared back in his room. As soon as he left, the phone rang again. "Please," I started. "I'm a creep." A whispered voice told me, "A girl this time. I saw your message. I'm ready. Ready to plant. Ready to rule. When will the creeps meet?" "Huh? Meet?" I didn't wait for my answer. I hung up the phone. Staring at the phone, I felt totally confused. Why am I getting all these calls, I wondered. Is it some kind of mix-up? And why are the calls so strange? Why did that girl say she was ready to plant? Ready to rule? What's going on? The phone rang again.
I'm gonna go cover that shit. Dear God.
I really wish I came up with the idea to do a podcast where I just talk off the top of my head or about something going on, because reading sucks and is a horrible idea.
That being said, let's liven back up. Yeah. Chapter 14. The next morning, I dragged myself to school. The phone hadn't stopped ringing until 2 in the morning. That's when I took it off the hook. You really should have taken it off the hook after the second call. I spent the rest of the night twisting and turning, thinking about all the weird calls. I didn't fall asleep until 7, which is the time my alarm goes off to wake me up. At breakfast, my head nearly dropped into my cornflakes. I just wanted to go back to bed, but Mom and Dad didn't feel sorry for me at all. They were furious. The ringing phone had kept them awake, too, because no one in my family can figure out how to unplug things. "You tell those kids not to call again," Mom warned, "or else I'll go into your school and tell them myself." "No, please." "Please," I begged. "I'll tell them. I'll tell them this morning. They won't call again. I promise." Can you think of anything more embarrassing than having your mom come to school, barge in your classroom, and lecture the kids in your class?
I went to junior high, which is already the worst time of school with my mom working there. She was the copy lady that made copies in a room that was made for copying things. So she knew all the teachers and stuff, so I couldn't do cool things, like smoke pot or skateboard and shred the gnar down the rails, because then they'd be like, "Dune's mom! Your fucking rad-ass son's doing rad-ass shit!" They already make fun of me every day and call me Sicky Ricky. Can you imagine what they'd call me if my mom came to school and yelled at them? Whoa, just thinking about it gave me chills. It took all my strength to pull myself to school and slump through the crowded hall to my locker. "There you are," Iris cried. I saw her waiting across from my locker. She wore a loose plaid shirt over navy blue corduroy pants. Her long plastic earrings jangled softly. She had been leaning against the tile wall. Now she pushed through a group of girls to get to me. "Here, Ricky, take a look." She handed me the latest copy of the Harding Herald. I grabbed it eagerly and lowered my eyes to the bottom of the front page. Yes, there it was. In tiny type across the whole bottom margin, my message. Except it had been changed a little. I moved my lips, reading it softly to myself. "Calling all creeps. Calling all creeps. If you're a real creep, call Ricky after midnight." Then it gave my phone number. My phone number, not Tasha's. My name and number. I let out a low moan and weakly handed the paper back to Iris. She shook her head and tisked. "You look terrible. Did you get any sleep at all?"
"No,"
I murmured. I grabbed the newspaper back and read it again. "How did this happen?" I cried. Tasha's grinning face flashed my mind. Tasha! I screamed her name, and then I took off, pushing my way through a group of kids hurtling over someone's backpack. I ran down the long, curving hall to the 8th grade classrooms and burst into Tasha's room just as the early bell rang. My eyes frantically swept through the room. I spotted her near the front like a total fucking nerd. Dune hung out in the back of class. Yeah, BRB, I gotta drink some malt liquor. Near the front, handing a notebook to another girl. "Tasha," I called, running up to her, and I waved the newspaper in her face. I sputtered breathlessly. She tossed back her red curls and laughed. "I caught your little joke just in time," she said. "Did you get any calls last night, Ricky?" "A few," I muttered angrily, and the whole class burst out laughing at me, even the teacher. Ooh, drinking break.
All morning, I had the feeling that everyone was watching me, laughing at me. Maybe I imagined it, maybe I didn't. I kept thinking about the calls I'd received the night before. I knew they were all from kids at school. But why were they saying such strange things? I saw your instructions. I'm ready to plant, ready to rule. When will the creeps meet? At lunch, I carried my tray toward the back corner of the lunchroom. I didn't feel like eating with anyone. I didn't feel like hearing any more jokes, more kids laughing at me. Hold up, I gotta check my phone. I had to walk past the table where my 4 7th grade enemies always sit. Uh-oh. I thought. Wart and David were squirting their milk cartons at each other. Brenda laughed so hard chocolate milk ran out of her nose. Maybe she was just snorting jankum. If they see me, I'm gonna get a milk shower, I realized. Too late to go the other way. To my shock, I passed right by the table without getting splashed or hit by anything. Wart didn't call out any nasty jokes. David and Jared didn't try to trip me. What's going on? I wondered. As I hurried to the far corner of the room, I knew they saw me. Why didn't they chant Sicky Ricky and toss their drink cartons at me the way they always do? They let me pass by as if they didn't know me. I slid my tray across the back table. No one ever sits at that corner. It's next to the furnace duct. Hot air blows out over the table while you eat. I had picked up a sandwich of some kind of lunch meat and a bowl of tomato soup. I tilted my chair back against the wall and sat chewing on the sandwich, watching the other kids. Waiting for someone to come over and make a joke about how my tomato soup looked like clotted blood, or to make a joke about all the calls I got after midnight. Waiting for kids to start chanting Sicky Ricky. Or for Wart, or another one of my... Come on, Dune. Or for Wart, or one of my other pals at his table to start throwing food at me, but no. No one paid any attention to me. I leaned back and ate my lunch in peace. I finished the soup and half a sandwich. I picked up a bowl of chocolate pudding for dessert, but the crust was too thick to force my spoon through. I gathered up my tray and stood to leave, and someone hit me in the forehead with a wadded up piece of paper. Hey! I called out angrily. But secretly, I felt glad. I mean, I just didn't feel normal going through a whole lunch hour without anyone getting on my case. Rubbing my forehead, I glanced down at the paper and realized it had writing on it. A note. Someone had passed me a note. I unfolded it and quickly read the scribbled words. When will the creeps meet? And this concludes part one of Calling All Creeps by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps. What the fuck does this have to do with velociraptors? Fucking Dune Reads Goosebumps, you know? I'm gonna do the thing that Giovanni said where it's Patreon, whatever.com, where people can donate on a monthly basis and set up at a certain amount. So it'd be like, oh, I'm gonna patron something Dune, and I'm gonna give him every month $5, you know? It's not very much, but it's gonna encourage him to do Goosebumps on a weekly basis again and make his life better. So there's some sort of reason he's been doing this for like 5 fucking years. Oh, whatever. I'll keep at it. I have another project I've been working on, too. It's going to be another podcast, so I'll talk about that annoyingly on every episode of this once it's done. But until then, what you can do is stay spooky, bitches.